Today on The Journey.
Solomon in Proverbs said it like this: death and life are in the power of the tongue. And today we're going to learn what Solomon has to say about the power of words.
Remember that childhood rhyme, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me"? That was a lie. We knew then, and we know now, the damage intemperate words can do. So how do we drive them far from our lips? Well, in this half hour, Ron Moore gives sage advice on controlling the hurtful thoughts that sometimes spring from our tongues. Before that, we want you to know about Ron's study notes on the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has been called the best parenting book ever written. And this interactive study booklet will guide you through its key verses, helping you raise responsible, godly children. It's yours for a gift of any amount. Remember, your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Living Peaceably on the Journey.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. We've been studying through this book written by Solomon, the third king of Israel, reigned from 971 to 931 BC. Most of the book is written by him. And he's writing the Proverbs for parents not only to live this truth out, but also to teach it to their children. We're going to see these three things today. First of all, we're going to see where words are conceived and developed. Then we're going to see the power of words for good and bad. And then several practical applications. So let's start at the place where words are formed. Before a word ever escapes our mouth, it is conceived and developed in our hearts. Remember, when you're reading scripture and you see the word heart, it's the control center of your life. It's your mind. It's your emotions. And it's your will. And Solomon, many times, will use a heart and our mouth, our words, synonymously. Let me give you a couple examples. Proverbs 10:20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is of little worth. He kind of uses those words the same, because words first form in the heart before they ever come out the mouth. Proverbs 15:7. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but not so the hearts of fools. Again, he uses those words synonymously because words come from the heart. Let me show you a few other passages. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Your words, your actions, your emotions, it all comes from your heart. So keep your heart with diligence. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. They actually think about what they're going to say. But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Jesus said it like this: for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Words come from our heart. I was speaking to a guy one time, and he had said some things that offended a lot of people. So I told him, man, you can't say stuff like that. And he said, Ron, are you serious? They were offended by that? Those were throwaway words. Unfortunately, no such thing as throwaway words. Our words go through an internal process from the heart to the lips. The process is quick. Sometimes too quick. And that's why we need to keep our heart with all diligence. That's why we need to ponder how to answer. That's why James says in James 1:19, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Sometimes I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday, but there are moments just frozen in my mind of regretful things I've said. Normally with my family. There are things that I've said to our kids, just frozen there. Think, why did I say that? I wish I had that time back. I've asked their forgiveness many, many times, and they've forgiven, but again, a word going out there. You can forgive, but it's hard to forget sometimes, and I wish I had done more to build them up instead of some of the words that I use, regretful times. Because words come from the heart, they're powerful. And they're powerful to do great things. Solomon says that, Proverbs 10, 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. It's a life-giving expression. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The lips of the righteous feed many. The lips of the righteous nourish people. Proverbs 12, 18 says this, the tongue of the wise brings healing. Man, we know that. There are times we got that email or we got that card and healing came over our soul. Proverbs 15, 2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge. That's Solomon's way of saying that the tongue of the wise makes knowledge look attractive and desirable. The tongue of the wise speaks the truth and they live it out in a way that others want to imitate it. Their words are powerful for good, for building up people. And it's the other side of the coin. Words are powerful for tearing down people. Proverbs 12, 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Actually, like the way the NIV says it better. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Boy, we know that to be true, don't we? Proverbs 15, 1. A harsh word stirs up anger. Someone says something to us that's harsh, and our emotions just get riled up inside. Sometimes we say something back we shouldn't. Proverbs 16, 27, a worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire, and it burns through our soul. Proverbs 18, 6, a fool's lips walk into a fight. His mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Researchers tell us most marriages break up because of three things: communication, money, and sex. Communication, because two people can't talk to each other without tearing each other down. And here's the deal. If you say something to your spouse and it hurts them once, okay. But if that happens as a habit, they put up a defense mechanism because no one wants to be hurt. So when you come around, my defenses are up, my shield is up, and I'm probably not going to hear much of what you say because it hurts too bad. Now remember, words matter. They're powerful because of their origin. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you really want to know what's in a person's heart, or if you want to know what's in your own heart, just evaluate your words. Remember, book of Proverbs, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It always starts with God. Solomon always uses this word for God, Yahweh. It's all caps in the English version. It means the God of covenant, the God of relationship, the God who stooped down and breathed into man the breath of life, the God who cares about us, the God who walks with us. That's the God we serve. That's the God Solomon wants us to know about. And in the book of Proverbs, there are two people he describes as the wicked. They reject God. They have nothing to do with God. They don't even think about God. And he calls them a fool. Their actions are foolish. And the righteous, they are described as wise because they fear God. Righteousness in the book of Proverbs has two parts to it. First, there is the position, and then there is the practice. The position is when we trust in Jesus Christ alone as the only way to have a relationship with the living God, we are made right by Jesus. We can't make ourselves right. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says Jesus makes us righteous. He's done all the work for us. That's the positional part, but there's also the practice. And Solomon's all about obedience. The reason he wrote his book was everyday wisdom for everyday life. Here's how you do righteous things. So when it comes to words, he says, here are some things believers have to deal with. First, we need to address and avoid corrupt and foul speech. Proverbs 4:24. put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Crooked speech means morally twisted, perverted. It could be dishonest talk. It could be bragging. It could be words that should never be in a believer's vocabulary. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says this, "Let no corrupting talk," by the way, the Greek word there is rotten, "let no rotten talk come from your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." So we need to be those who avoid corrupt or foul speech. Secondly, Solomon says, you got to address gossip. Proverbs 11:13, "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps the thing covered." So there are some people you're just not going to tell anything, because if you tell them, it's going to be broadcast. That's the gossiper. Solomon likes to call the gossiper the whisperer, always going around whispering. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels that go down into the inner parts of the body. There's something in human nature when someone comes and says, "I got something to tell you, but please, you got to swear not to tell anybody else." It's like there's a big old piece of chocolate cake with chocolate raspberry truffle Brewster's ice cream and like chocolate on the top of that. It's like a delicious morsel. And we say, "Oh, we want to hear that." Solomon says, don't go there. Proverbs 16:28, "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends." Man, how many people have lost friends over something they wrote on a Facebook page or something they texted to a friend they thought was private or an email that went out? I have a good friend who says, whenever you type an email, before you hit send, read it again. And if you wouldn't be comfortable with that email being on the front page of the newspaper, don't hit send. That has saved me more than once. Proverbs 26:27, "Whoever digs a pit, they're going to fall into it. Whoever starts the gossip stone rolling, it's going to get up to the top of the hill. You're going to be standing there and it's going to come back and roll right over you. Your sin's going to be found out." So gossip, we have to address that and avoid it. Flattery is the next one. Proverbs 26:28, "A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin." Someone has said flattery is saying something to a person's face you would never say behind their back. It's an insidious sin to look at someone and pump them up all the time, knowing in your heart you don't mean a word of it. David wrote this in Psalm 55. David had a couple psalms where some friends had just turned on him, and that was painful. And David said, "My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was as smooth as butter. When he talked with me, he was flattering me. His speech was as smooth as butter. Yet there was war in his heart. His words were softer than oil. You would have thought I was the best thing since sliced bread, man. He was pumping me up like crazy. Yet in his heart, his words were drawn swords." The flatterer. Proverbs 26:23. "Like the glaze covering an earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart." Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, don't believe it. For there are seven abominations in his heart. That doesn't mean there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It means a number of completion. His heart is full of abomination. "Though his hatred is covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly." The flatterer. One more. Proverbs 29:5, "A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet." If you buy into flattery, that person is spreading a net for your feet, because it's going to come back to bite you. And we've all experienced that. Here's another thing we need to avoid or address, and that's being judgmental. Proverbs 11:12 says, "Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent." Whoever belittles his neighbor, that word means to despise or show contempt. It reflects an attitude of pride and an attitude of being judgmental. And it's interesting, through the Proverbs and throughout Scripture, how we treat our network of friends is the essential ingredient of practicing righteousness. That's the laboratory. That's the real life stuff. That's where the rubber meets the road. Can't live a Christian life by yourself. You apply these passages when you're interacting with other people. And we're expected in Scripture to protect the life and protect the reputation of a neighbor. All right, things to avoid. Let's go through some practical application from the Proverbs. First of all, Solomon says, stay away from a gossiper. Proverbs 20:19, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. Just don't associate with them. You're going to share a secret with them? It is going to be broadcast. You're going to share something that you're not going to mean to share, and it's going to hurt people. Don't associate with them. Proverbs 26:20, for the lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Just don't go there. Don't entertain it. And fire goes out. Here's another one. Guard your lips. Whoever guards his lips preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Proverbs 13:3. David said it this way in Psalm 141:3, a prayer. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Man, that's a prayer we need to pray a lot, and I need to pray that prayer a lot. Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Help me keep my mouth shut when it needs to be shut. When words are many, sin is present. Proverbs 17:27, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Stay away from the gossiper, guard your lips, be discerning with your words. Proverbs 16:21, the wise of heart is called discerning. That word discerning is a beautiful word. It means showing good judgment. It means being able to see under the surface. We want to be a discerning person. The heart of the wise is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. We'll talk about that in a second. Proverbs 23:29, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. You speak in the hearing of a fool, he can take your words, he'll twist them around, and pretty soon there'll be it out there that you're saying stuff you never said. Be careful, be discerning what you share with whom. Proverbs 26:6, whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. So stay away from a gossiper, guard your lips, be discerning. Here's one. This would be a good one for all of us, for sure me. Proverbs 29:20, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 21:23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Proverbs 15:23, to make an apt answer, to give the right answer is a joy to a man and a word in season. How good is it? Proverbs 15:28, here's the key verse for this application. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. They think about it. They ponder it. And they guard their heart with all diligence so that quick word doesn't come out. The next one, timing is everything. Some things need to be said, just not now. Some things need to be shared, but this is not the time to do it. Have you ever had a conversation with your spouse, and after it was over, you thought to yourself, that probably wasn't a good time to do that? Never happened with me, but I've heard it's happened with other people. Proverbs 25:20, whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, like vinegar on soda. Proverbs 27:14. I love this one. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it's going to be counted as a cursing. A couple more. Use words to calm, not to agitate. Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Proverbs 16:21, wise of heart is called discerning. Here we go. The sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. We could get a lot farther with a lot of people if we didn't get angry and we didn't use harsh words and we didn't use sharp words and we didn't try to outdo them all the time, but just sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Proverbs 15:1, here's the key verse for this application. A soft answer, or the NIV, I like the word better, a gentle answer, turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How many times someone said something to us, and man, we shoot that arrow back, and all of a sudden, two people are heightened with their emotions and their anger, and if we would adjust, bit our tongue for a second and just come back with a gentle answer, there'd been no argument at all. One more. Use words to build up. Proverbs 12:25 says this, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. We've experienced that, haven't we? Going through a challenging time, a discouraging time, a time when there's anxiety in our heart, and we get that text, we get that email, we get that phone call, we get that note, and it's just a good word. And it just diffuses the anxiety going on. You know why? Because we realize that someone took the time to think about us, to pray about us, and took the time to, in their heart, script a message, took the time to send it to us. Proverbs 15:30, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bones. Here's one of my favorites, Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken, the right word at the right time, is like apples of gold and settings of silver. Isn't that a beautiful picture? When you say that right word at the right time to your child and build them up, you can see the sparkle in their eyes, and that's better than apples of gold and settings of silver. Words are powerful, aren't they? That's why we have to guard our lips at all times.
And please stay with us. Ron will be back with a preview of our next broadcast right after this. Parenting in the modern world is challenging and sometimes exhausting, but there's real help to be found in an ancient book. The Proverbs contain wisdom deeply rooted in an understanding of God and people. But the book is not theoretical. It's a practical instruction manual for parenting in the real world. To help apply its wisdom to your life and family, Ron has prepared an easy and interactive study guide. It's titled Proverbs, Everyday Wisdom, Everyday Life. In it, you'll discover what it means to fear God, the blessings of humility, the importance of friendship, and how to live with purity in a sex-crazed world. The Proverbs Study Guide is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
Today we want to look at that thing that takes such a huge chunk of our life. What I want to do today is to start with the biblical theology of work, and then we're going to look at some observations, and then we're going to look at some applications regarding work.
We hope you'll join us for that message next time. Also, we want to send you a copy of Ron's interactive study guide on the book of Proverbs. It's titled Proverbs, Everyday Wisdom, Everyday Life. This booklet is yours for a gift of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Ross Draver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.